Reading today comes from Psalm 84. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of hosts. I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she places her young. Near your altars, Lord of hosts, my King and my God. How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Listen, God of Jacob. Consider our shield, God. Look on the face of your anointed one. Better a day in your courts than a thousand anywhere else. I'd rather be at the door of the house of God than live in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives us grace and glory. He does not withhold the good from those who live with integrity. Lord of hosts, happy is the person who trusts in you. May God bless the reading and receiving of his word.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you, choir, for the beautiful number. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Or if you want one that's not a church song, it's coming up pretty soon. In your Easter bonnet with all the frills upon it. And I know some of you still have some Easter bonnets. Whether we see them or not, I don't know on that day. Holiday songs. Holiday songs are plentiful. We can find them religiously, that is, religious songs, or non-religious songs, or a blending of both. We use them at special occasions. Each of those dealt with, I hope you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. Special occasions, unfortunately, the only times that some people will ever see the sanctuary decorated at Christmas and Easter and hear those songs. But we use them at particular points in time to declare our joy at the holiday and our understanding that this is indeed a holiday, or better yet, a holy day. And Psalm 84 is a holiday psalm. It is a holiday psalm that recognizes a holiday around the temple. Now, there are many who contend that perhaps, especially with the mentioning of the early rains in my translation, the autumn rains in the one from which Chris read, with the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. But as we look at this particular psalm today, I want us to look at it from a slightly different tack than we took in 2004, and to think about just what brings us here, why we are here. Do we understand the holiness of the holiday song, and not just for special occasions like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter? It's highly possible that this particular psalm speaks of approaching the temple, although we do find mention later of pilgrims leaving, and that's not with the big black hats, but that's people who have made the pilgrimage. It's possible that this particular writer is remembering a time of approaching the temple on any holiday. Or, as I said, holy day. If you look in the dictionary, you will find that the dictionary, among its definitions of holiday, defines the word as a time for religious custom. A time for religious custom. A holiday is a holy day. A holy day is a day of rejoicing. It is a holiday. And I don't mean holiday as in we're taking a day off. Although a lot of people, as we've said before, there are a lot of people that are at the Church of St. Mattress this morning. But within the Jewish thought here, there was no real difference between the sacred and the secular in life, because all days were sacred and holy to God. All days were under the purview of God. Whether those days were days of temple gathering and worship, or days spent out on the job, they were still under the auspices of God. And the author here is speaking of going to the temple, and he saw the temple as a place of blessing and peace. That's what he experienced when he approached the temple for worship. He expected blessing and peace to be found there. His words in this particular psalm come from the fullness of a heart that longs to connect with God in worship. It's not just, oh well, gotta go again. But he is longing to connect with God and to worship. Old Testament theologian Fleming James called this psalm the supreme psalm of the sanctuary. The supreme psalm of the sanctuary, because of its recognition of the importance of being there. The importance of the temple. The importance of the journey. And the longing for that connection that the temple brings. Now, there are some scholars who believe that this particular psalm was written by a devout Jew who, for some reason, was unable to come to worship at the temple, and that he penned these words out of memories of earlier times in his life when he could come to the place of worship with regularity. As we said earlier, and as I would have said to the children, were they not downstairs, and I hope some of them watched, but I say to us, he remembered from earlier times when he was there. Very probably from the time that he was a small child, in awe and enamored by everything that was going on around him, the enormity of the temple, the pomp and circumstance of the rituals, the sincere prayers that were offered to God while he was there, and the singing of those who were present, seeking to help lift the soul and the spirit toward an understanding of God. His longing for being present called forth glorious feelings and remembrances that sustained him even in a time when he could not be there. Others contend that this particular psalm is the work of someone who has just been in the temple on a pilgrimage, and he can't wait to return. He looks forward to coming back at the next opportunity. In either case, this particular psalmist wishes to be in the temple not just because it's the thing to do or to make business contacts, but because of the finding of God's presence there in a unique and special way. Any opportunity to come to the temple for him is a holiday, a holy day to look forward to. In verse 2, he continues that thought of longing to be there and recognizing the very presence of God. In the translation from which I would read here, my soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Soul, heart, flesh. These words represent his entire being, not just a portion. He didn't just worship with his mind. He didn't just worship with his heart. He didn't just worship by being there. But rather, he expected and used his entire being in worship. And that's not unnatural for him. And it's not unnatural for many within the time who longed for that temple experience. In fact, he believed that one should live in the presence of God as naturally as the birds who make their nests in the temple. He looks regularly toward God and feels that being in the temple, even for a short time, is worth much more than being other places, especially on regular worship days. He says, being in your temple, one day in your presence, in your temple, is worth far more than 1,000 days anywhere else. He longs for that experience of God as a man who is starving longs for food. For he sees in that temple worship, he sees the opportunity to become fed. Even if nothing is said to him that makes him have that feeling, nothing is said that connects, nothing is sung that really elevates his soul, simply being there in the presence with the opportunity for connecting with God feeds him. The psalmist declares his envy of the priests and the temple singers when he talks about how happy are those who dwell in the temple and sing your praises in the courts. Envy for their security and for their peace in God's presence. It wasn't just a duty to be done. It wasn't, as the little ditty I've repeated before, every time I pass a church, I always stop to visit when at last I'm rolled inside, the Lord won't ask, who is it? It's more than simply putting in a moment of presence. It is truly seeking security and peace from God. As he continues his holiday song, he sings of how the journey to the temple and in the temple renews his strength. Strength of body and spirit. And though his life may sometimes become arid and parched, just as the valley of Baca, which was a valley that was so dry and arid on the way to the temple, pilgrims passed through it, that the only tree that could survive was a balsam tree. Nothing else, no other tree would grow there. It was so dry, so parched. But he says, even though his life may sometimes be as arid and parched as the valley of Baca, going to the temple for worship makes his life a place of springs and rains of joy. A place where the fatigue of life can be overcome and he can find strength and purpose once again. It is where God's presence will be seen and felt because the worshiper comes expecting it and anticipating. Anticipating connecting with God while in the temple. And he looks forward to being present with openness. That is his prayer. It renews him like the springs and the early rains would renew the driest valley. The psalmist continues in verses 9 and following to speak of how fulfilled he is through worship. He considers how wonderful, and I would say how wonder-filling, that day in the temple is, as it brings blessedness and happiness. However, he doesn't expect that to happen if he is not present. Physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. He speaks of his longing to be present when he is kept away for different reasons. Yet when prohibited from coming to the temple, he longs greatly to be there and can hardly wait to return once again. When he states that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, the text literally means, and could be translated, "I choose to stand at the threshold," which may indicate an act of a humble servant. It would satisfy him just to be at the threshold of the temple, even if he couldn't go in, as a humble servant awaiting his master's call. He is confident that God is not a barrier to anything, and that the temple is not a barrier to God's favor. Rather, the place of worship is another entranceway to the very blessings of God. And he says, "I long to be there rather than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Now, when we think of wickedness, and maybe in reading that passage when Chris read and you heard about tents of wickedness, and you thought, you know, yeah, I'd rather be there than out with the horrible folks. But it's very possibly a reference to Gentiles or even other Hebrews who do not see the importance of coming to the temple to worship or to keeping close to God daily. For the word in Hebrew that we translate wicked simply means to miss the mark. And it doesn't have to be by a wide margin. Just to miss the bullseye by a little bit is to miss the mark, is to be among the wicked. And so, in his mentioning of the wicked here, I think he is probably reflecting upon those who perhaps he passes on his way to the temple, who are out washing their carts, who are out snipping their grass. I know we don't have to worry about those things today. Who are simply out taking a walk, or maybe they're chasing those little round rocks they've been hitting with sticks, rather than coming to the place of worship. He calls God his sun and his shield from that wickedness, but also his sun and his shield, that is, his light and his salvation. Those terms, light and salvation, by the way, are also used by the psalmist in Psalm 27 and in Isaiah chapter 60 to speak of God as a sun and a shield, a light and a salvation. And this is renewed when he comes to worship, whether temple or church. Like the psalmist, our lives are mediated by the things to which we are committed. civic clubs, work, social connections, sometimes even church. The holiday song of this psalmist stands, I think, as a sentinel to us. A sentinel call to trust in God, to show that trust in part by journeying. Journeying to the place of worship regularly so that we can continue to find grace as we journey through our lives away from that place of worship. Not just for special holidays where we sing of gathering together to ask the Lord's blessing, or over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. Rather, every opportunity that we have, whether daily or weekly, to come to holiday, or better yet, holy day, we should be present with songs of confidence and commitment in our hearts. Confidence and a longing for God in soul, in heart, in flesh. So, sing a holiday song. A holiday song that is soul filled and that longs for God's presence in His temple and within God's heart. What do you long for? May we pray. O Lord our God, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Help us. Help us to truly show that we believe in Your excellence as we sing the holiday song of longing. Longing for worship. Longing for Your presence. Longing for Your life. It's in the name of Jesus, our Christ, that we pray. Amen. A closing hymn is hymn number 405. I love Thy kingdom, Lord. It is a holiday song, declaring that we indeed do love God's kingdom and gathering together. As you sing, think about those words. Think about that holiday or holy day that we have. And our altar is open. Open for any who would make a first-time public profession of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. For any who would become part of our fellowship and minister from this place and in this place. Or for any who would recommit to singing holiday songs. Number 405, I love Thy kingdom, Lord.